You know, we have a guest speaker today. You know, Fran and Heidi moved to Houston about 9 years ago this past May, much to our chagrin. But God doesn't always ask you your opinion. But the reason I like to have him come and speak is because, to me, it's a great example of Paul. You know, if you look at the Bible, Paul was an extremely educated man. He was a Jew's Jew. He hunted Christians to have them put over to death till God got a hold of him. Then he writes in Corinthians, God chooses the foolish things of the world, not the wise. I'm not calling Fran a fool. I'm saying he is a man who him and his wife have said, God, whatever you want. And I've been to Houston a few times, and I love to see the growth that I've seen. And he just has surrendered his life to God and allowed God to call him through some very uncomfortable things. Maybe like he's speaking here right now. So without further ado, Pastor Fran Rowe.
Well, good morning. First thing I'd like to do is acknowledge the worship team. It's always a pleasure to come home and get some hometown music. Thank you very much. Getting us into the mood for the word, right? Well, as Pastor Dick said, that I came here, actually it was 13 years ago that I came to this place, and I was busted. And the pews were different, and I was sitting over there. And I always get emotional about this, because when we're broken, we don't need someone to tell us what we need to do. Sometimes we just need to be heard. And I was broken, and I didn't know I needed to be heard, but I knew I had to do something. And so Dick came up to me and he said, I know you don't understand what's going on, and I'm not asking you to do anything, but I just want you to come back next Sunday. And he did that, and he continued to do that, never pressuring me, and the scales started falling off. You know, we're going to get into the message, but the thing that I want everybody to understand, whether you're a solid Christian and you've been doing this for 20, 30 years, or you're just wondering and you're questioning what you're doing, we all have a purpose. And whether we accept that, you know, the greatest thing about God is He gives us the ability of free will. We can make the choices. We can choose or not. And there's a benefit from having a choice. The benefit is God gets us when we're ready. I wasn't ready till I was 43 years old. So if there's people out here that are questioning or doubting or been a Christian for a long time and they're just in a situation where they're doubting, you know, I've been doing this 30 years, today's going to be a day for one, either to you commit yourself or recommit yourself. Because you know what? I've been serving God for 13 years faithfully, but I've been recommitting myself multiple times because I'm human. And these are the things that affect me as a person. My life has changed, but it's changed for the way and the will of God, right? But that doesn't mean I got a free pass and I can continue to do that. And the message that I'm going to talk about is our cry for the Father. It doesn't matter if you're a one-day Christian, 30-year Christian. We have to cry out to the Father every now and then. It's really important that we focus on that. And I was going to come in here and tell you my little story, other than the 13 years, but I want to bring up somebody that none of you guys will know. Her name is Donna Benicia. And she is a pillar in our church, was a pillar in our church. And her husband, Adrian, also a pillar in our church. And whenever I wanted to get my picture of a Christian, I would I would look at them and sit with them. I'd had lunches with them and dinners with them. We did some Bible training together, and he was a solid guy. Adrian is his name, Adrian Benicia. He was a private pilot. He started out in commercial flying, became a private pilot, extremely intelligent guy. And when they came out and talking about the vaccine, he said, you know, me and my wife are going to pray. And so they prayed. And they felt like the Lord was telling them not to take the vaccine. So they chose not to. Unfortunately, they both got COVID. And Adrian had to get put on an intubator. And after several days, he succumbed and died. And I thought, and we're going to get into this in the message in a little while, I was like, why? I mean, this guy was a stellar guy. And this guy did everything that I thought I should be doing as a Christian. And so I would see Donna, and she would always go up to the front, worship. And let me tell you, worship, I'm going to touch back on this because it's one of the most important things to the Lord, is worshiping the Lord. This should not be a happy, listen to the song I like. This is a crying out to God. And the importance of it was, and she knew it, that she was giving herself to the Lord regardless of her circumstances, regardless if good things happened or bad things happened. But I didn't have the nerve to go up to her and say, hey, how are you doing with that? I mean, they were together 30 years. How can you just be okay with it? Because she had this big smile. And I finally got the nerve like 6 months later. I felt, well, that's enough time. I've lost important people in my life. 6 months should be a good time. And I said, Donna, I don't want to be rude, but how'd you do that? And I remember when he first went in the hospital, we brought a group of us down, and we were not allowed in the hospital, but there was 10, 12 of us, and we're praying diligently that God will miraculously heal this guy. And we prayed and prayed. And I remember stopping on my way home from work. I knew where his hospital room was. And I was like, I'm going to just stand down here and say a prayer. And regardless, they didn't get answered. He passed. So I said to her, I said, how do you do that? And she goes, you know what, Fran? I asked for him to be 100% cured. And if he would have survived, he would never been able to fly a plane again, never be able to ride his motorcycle, never be able to travel like we said we were going to do. So God answered my prayer. He's 100% healthy now. And that just floored me. I'm like, I was nervous on the flight up here. You know? That shows you how far I have to go to be there. And there was a video I was going to show you, and I'm going to show it anyway. There's no sound. I don't know what happened. We don't have Randy Ziegler here, so but we're not going to let the enemy, no weapon shall prosper, right? I want you to see the video because I would encourage you just to go look at this. It's a minute long. And this is Alistair Begg. And he's talking about if I do this, if I do that, if I stay here, if I say this, if I do this, we become fallen at that point. And what he goes on to tell you is he's talking about the man on the cross, talking about Jesus. He's talking about the thief, where they were both there persecuting him, calling him all kinds of names, saying things about him. And yet the thief to the right says, remember me in paradise. And he said, I tell you this, for today you will be in paradise with me. This guy never went to a Bible study, never read the Bible, knew nothing about justification, sanctification. And he asked him, on what grounds are you here? And you'll hear him. He doesn't know. I don't know why I'm here. Well, let me go get my supervisor angel, he says. So the supervisor angel comes over and says, well, you know, are you pure on, are you understand on justification, sanctification? Never heard of it in my life. Then on what basis are you here? And he says, the man on the middle cross said I could come. That's it. There's no special remedy that you have to do. There's nothing. You couldn't do anything. And once we start thinking that we can do things to get saved and go into the promised land, that's beginning of falling again. And we can't do that. So, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and read from 2 Samuel 10:12. Be courageous. Let's fight bravely for our people in the cities of our God. May the Lord's will be done. I looked up courage and trying to understand what courage is. And actually, courage is a physical expression of a concern or compassion for somebody. And how do you have compassion for somebody? It's the love that Jesus had for us. That's how we get courage. We don't get courage any other way. We don't go into burning buildings or try to save people unless we have a love of life, a love for somebody. Courage has to do with love. And it's a decision. It's not a choice. Whenever you do something courageously, you're not doing it by choosing to do it. You're deciding to do it. Not, I'm going to be courageous today. I'm going to go out and... No, whenever you're confronted with something that's difficult, you make the decision, not a choice. We always have the choice. We can do it or not. But when you courage has to fall in line with a decision-making process that makes it an action. In most cases, sharing the gospel with one another, it takes courage, but it's not just a decision. It's also a command from God. It says, Luke, and we're going to read out of Luke 19, 29 through 39. And this is, I'll give you a little backstory. This is when he's on the colt and he's going in. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. When he approached Bethany near the mountain that is called Olivet, he sent out two of his disciples saying, go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent left and found it just as he had told them. And they were untying the colt. Its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus. And they threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. Now as he was going to where they were spreading cloaks on the road. And as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, blessed is the King, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace is in heaven and glory on the highest. I'm going to stop there. When we read that, all we're talking about is people being loud. But let me try to give you a visual picture. He saved 4,000, he saved 5,000, he's converted all these people, and they're heading into Pentecost, and they're going down there, and he's on a colt, and they're saying they're going to lay stuff down for him. I want you to understand, when they're heading into the city, that's the main thoroughfare of all the everything, the markets, everything that's going on there. If we were to sit here, and let's just try to imagine going from here to the bridge, and we got Jesus on a donkey, and we're laying cloaks down. There's people in the markets, there's things in the trees. These guys are grabbing everything that they possibly can to make sure that when he's walking, that he has something that he's stepping on. So you can imagine how many people were there doing all this, and two, the carnage that he was causing afterwards. After he made that pass, that whole place was discombobulated. And people were upset about that. And I'll get into that in a little bit. And yet some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Jesus replied, I tell you, if these stop speaking, the stones will cry out. It takes courage. It takes courage, a special kind of courage, to be able to face adversity like that. Understanding the Roman government at that time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had some kind of political position in there. And the whole concept behind them. There's a bunch of reasons why they wanted to get rid of Jesus, and we can go on for rabbit hole after rabbit hole, but the primary thing is they were going to be losing control. They were losing control. If they allowed this man to continue on, they were going to lose their power and control with the Romans, and things were going to fall apart on them. If we don't try to understand the concept of how big God was at that point, we're never going to understand how it is to be courageous on little things that we do in our lives. When we read the Bible, we have to read it for what it means. When I first read that, I thought it was just, you know, he's riding on a donkey and they're throwing some stuff down. It was a lot of work for something like that to happen. In Psalm 46:10, God says, "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Exodus 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." Colossians 3, 23 and 24, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Each one of us that's committed our lives to Christ have a specific purpose. I didn't know what my purpose was when I came here almost 14 years ago. I didn't even know if I would even have a purpose. I just knew that I had to keep coming here because Dick said so. And that's the truth. But I believe now that each and every one of us have a purpose. And whether we're taking that purpose and exercising it, maybe it's because you don't feel courageous. Maybe it's because you don't feel like you need to cry out to God. Maybe you think you have your life all together. Well, I can tell you that it's an ever-changing God that we serve. But there's change with purpose. And we have to understand that if we don't realize that the purpose that we have, or at least strive to find the purpose that we have, we're never going to reach the spot where we need to be. You have to have a purpose and a destiny. Why do bad things happen? And I told you earlier about Donna Benicia. I still, you know, I've accepted what she said. He's whole now, he's healthy, but I don't want bad things to happen to my family, my friends. But God has a purpose. We are given a beginning and we're given an end. And a lot of that purpose, for me, I felt like I stalled the Lord because of my free will. I stalled. I made choices that were not towards him. He's still going to get me there. I believe everyone, if you're in this room, whether you believe you have a purpose or whether you're just hearing some words that are coming out of my mouth, I believe that God has you here just to hear it. And I hope that seeds are planted throughout it. You know, I have up here, "We should never ask why." That's a hard thing to say. But I saw this clip. This guy said, "You should never ask why. You should always ask who. Who loves you, who helps you, who heals you." That should be our question. Because if you think that for one second that I decided at 43 years old that I'm going to take my life and I'm going to completely revamp it and I'm going to let God fill me with his Holy Spirit and I'm going to go to Texas and I'm going to fall into a church and go to Ukraine and preach over in Ukraine and then go from there to Georgia. If you thought that I had that plan, I can tell you that's an absolute farthest from my mind. But allowing God to work in me allowed God to work in me. And that's what we got to do. We have to understand. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And I'm not even concerned about tomorrow. I was worried yesterday because usually I practice my message a few times and they check my bag. So I didn't get my bag till last night. So this morning, I'm like, oh, Carrie, everything's going to be fine. And the sound goes off on the video. And I'm like, okay, I can't control that. Those pieces of my life, I can't control. But what I can control is telling you that ever since that this man has come to me and said, just come here every Sunday, and allowed me to flourish and grow on my pace, ultimately God's pace, I'm able to stand before you today. And that's it. It has nothing to do with anything that I did. I did nothing to get this. I was just obedient. I had the courage. That's it. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I just gave you an example of what happens. What happens in your life? What has God done for you? Everybody in here could reflect, look in the rearview mirror and see where God's been there every time. And I bet you that anybody in here I asked, there's been times when you needed courage. There was times when you needed rest. There was times when you needed to relax and just get into God. But you can go back on your whole life, and I can guarantee you, you can find times that God showed up every time if we just look at it. If we understand that God chose us, if we understand that God called us, we must then turn to God. That was the hardest thing for me. Because I had a lot of friends, I had a lot of people that were giving me what I thought I needed. Until I humbled myself, I had no choice. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The important thing we need to understand is that no one who is saved can say that he's saved because of his or her own choice of God. You can't say that. You can try. Rather, it's his or her salvation is in the response from God's choice of you and I. I firmly believe that God chose me, and I was dense and stubborn and ignorant enough to know that it was going to take me till I was 43 years old. Now, I pray that doesn't happen here. I pray that people might get a seed planted in today and understand that you do have a divine purpose. You do have a call. There's some magical things that are happening with science right now that are kind of correlating with the light of God and how we are. And the biggest thing to do is we've feminized the church. We've made it to where you're not a strong man if you come to church. And that's so far from the truth. God created us to be men of God, to be battle warriors. You can look in many of the Bible stories how courageous some men were. King David is my favorite. He had no problem at all praising God and lifting his hands and then snapping somebody's neck. And I'm going to say it just like that, because that's exactly what happened. For the love of God, right? And we've made that look like if we have to be conscious of somebody's feelings. Well, let me tell you something. There's a God who is way bigger than any of us. And he understands where we are and what we're doing. From the old covenant to the new covenant. The last Adam is what we should be focused on. But I like referencing King David because he was a man's man. And God used him in courage. He used him as a shepherd, used him when he fought the lion, when he fought the bear, when he took out Goliath, when he disobeyed God, and God lifted him back up. But it all has to do with courage. So what do we got to do? Christ died for all. But nowhere does it say that his sacrifice was a substitute for all. We need to establish a relationship with Christ by doing these three things: admitting that we are sinners, believing he died on the cross for our sins, and commit to serving him for the rest of our lives. That's a salvation. That's it. He's not giving us a big list of things, you know. 10 commandments, yes. We understand that. But all he wants is our hearts. To be courageous, to step out, to turn ourselves to him. That's part of the crying out. I can't make Randy decide to go follow Christ. I can tell him about Christ all I want. But you have to make that courageous decision to say, I want some of that. I want to do that. And that's in each and every one of us. That's just the way God wants it, because free will is the most important thing to him. If he wanted us to have anything other than free will, we'd be robots and we would all be sitting, standing, doing whatever he wants us to do. We'd be puppets on the string. How much more important is his relationship with us when we choose him? He doesn't need us. He wants us. That's a total different aspect than what we're talking about. I don't need Dick to save me, but I want Nick to help me, or Dick to help me. I want him to say, hey, come back next Sunday. And then we started talking. I remember we went to his life group, and I promised him, I said, listen, I'll tell you right now, I have no idea what I'm doing. But I can promise you this, when I figure it out, I'm going to move. And I promise God, you help me, and I'll help them. So I'm going to make it my life's work to fall, ask forgiveness, get back up, fight some more, fall, ask for forgiveness. And I'll probably do that for the rest of my life, because in the 13 years that I've been loving Jesus and trusting Jesus, I have had ups and downs. We flooded in Hurricane Harvey. I've lost things. I started my own business. I've been starving for 4 years. But God has been providing. Maybe not as I see fit or what I want, but God has been providing it, because I took the courage to take the step to turn to God and cry out to the Father. Romans 6 and 7. Knowing this, our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. We need to have a different perspective. You can't do anything to be in the house of the Father. You can't say anything. You can't buy anything. You can't change your whole perspective on life. You have to trust that Jesus was there, and that's it. But we far too often will look at something like this and say, oh, I'm not crucifying myself for anything. And all you have to do is say, you know what? I'm broken. And it might take you the rest of my life, God, but figure me out, please. And he knows Fran Rowe. And he knows where my heart is. He knows what I go through and what I struggle with. We talk about knowing that ourself was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we could no longer be slaves to sin, for he has died and is freed from sin. Rather, I would say, he who has died for themselves. We need to die for ourselves. You need to get yourself out of the way. One of the things I prayed about this morning is, God, don't let me get in the middle of this message. Don't let me be the conductor of what goes on here. You speak through me and let me touch somebody in here that it's going to make a difference for. You can have anybody come up here and speak. This is not a holy space. I mean, I'm shocked that he still wants me to come up here and do this stuff. But I'm obedient to God, so I'm willing to do that, right? For the love of God, and hopes that what he's pouring into me, that I retain it, and I can go and do that for my brothers and sisters. Amen? Charles Stanley had a great quote. It says, "The moment someone chooses to trust in Jesus Christ, his sins are wiped away, and he is adopted into God's family. That individual is set apart as a child of God with a sacred purpose." That's it. We try to make this thing into this big ordeal on, you know, I gotta, you know, stop listening to secular music. I gotta stop smoking marijuana. I gotta stop looking at porn. Yeah, all good things. You know, we don't need to be doing that. But how about taking yourself out of that and say, God, help me with that. Give me the courage to fight that. Give me the ability to do that. I can tell you unequivocally, honestly, through my soul as my soul, nothing that I have ever been cut away from God, was anything more than what he did. I had nothing to do with none of it. Not one thing. I said, please help me. But I can do nothing without you being in me. Can do nothing without the Father. I got a note down here. I wrote this in here. You need to seek his purpose for your life. Whether it's ministry, youth, sharing the gospel, or just committing your life to Christ. Listen, you may have given your life to Christ in 1972, or maybe 1901, like Dick did over here. But you may say, you know what? I've been going through such a dry spell right now. I don't feel God. I don't understand where God is. I can't see him in my life. I can't focus on believing that God is everything. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you don't believe in God at all. And that's okay. God didn't ask you, is it okay if I go up on the cross and do this for everybody? Again, I'm going to tell you, take yourself out of that and just let God work. There's two things I want to, before I close, I actually got three. They don't have, he doesn't have them, but I wrote these at this morning because I preached this similar message in the nation of Georgia, but I wanted this. This is my church family, and I know some of you guys don't know me, but this is where God birthed me. I got baptized right over there. Everyone in here that does know me or soon to know me, I have a huge love for you guys and pray about it. I wish more of you would come visit me in the heat down there, but I understand. But this place is special to me. This place gave me hope. And that is anticipating what we would believe that he in fact does. Or what we don't want to happen, right? That's what hope is. Anticipating what we would like to happen or what we don't want to happen. This place gave me hope. It gave me a purpose. I was struggling. I was going through some difficult things in my life. And by chance, I listened to God and said, you know what? I'm going to throw everything else away and I'm going to just trust you, and came through these doors, and God divinely put Dick Beaumont in my place, in my space, and helped me and gave me hope. In this place, I got faith. It's trusting that your happenings can and will happen. In other words, believing in my purpose. This place gave me hope. It gave me faith. And the last one, I've been kicking and screaming and all the way. It gave me expectations. Expectations of what I'm supposed to do with my relationship with Christ as I see him, and now given the opportunity to share the word, that we seek him. It should never be a pastor or an elder or saying I, because we're a group. Eternity is a huge place, and we're all going to be there. And I don't know what the hierarchy is going to be up there, but I kind of remember in the Bible, and I'm not as savvy as some people, But be careful of the strangers on the street, because they could be angels. Everybody matters. And if you got a pastor that's up there talking about themselves and all the things that God's doing through them, through the church, run. Because that's not God. We're all equal here. Anybody can have the ability to get up and preach the word. Everybody has the ability to share the gospel, because that's what Jesus said. Go forth and spread the word. There's no junior Holy Spirit here, too, if I can correct everybody on that as well. No junior Holy Spirits. I mean, some little kiddos up there, you should be praying for them, for their wives, for their husbands, for their growth in Christianity. God does not have a junior Holy Spirit. And I have expectations that now I have put on myself to come here and be as honest as I possibly can. Not to bore people, not to drag people under, not to convict anybody, not to condemn anybody. But I can tell you, I am a walking, working progress that God has bestowed a lot of joy in my life. He's given me a lot of ability in my life. Love a lot of people in this room, not just my family. But God has opened up so many doors for me. And all I did was had a little bit of courage and a lot of bit of, okay, I'm not going to be in, this is uncomfortable for me, but I'm going to step away and see what God does. And I can tell you, and some people that may know it, my man back there, miss you and love you. God has done a good work in me. And it's not just me. We need to reflect on this ourselves, because you're just as important to God as anyone. Doesn't matter if you're standing here, sitting here, playing music. Again, which was very good. And I'll tell you this. This I've also learned. Much is given, much is required. The more levels, the more devils. If you're stagnant and your life is good and you have no issues going on, you got something going on. You need to really start understanding. Listen, God doesn't put us in situations to make us suffer. God puts us in these situations to grow, to learn obedience, to have faith, to understand hope. These things that are given to you give you enough. They stretch you enough to break you and build you up so the next battle that's bigger, you can withstand that battle. God doesn't want us to be pigeonholed into this little thing saying, I believe you, everything's great, I'm going to heaven. That's malarkey. There's an expectation of where we're going to be when we get to where we're going. And I don't think we're going to all be sitting grapes and drinking wine and everybody's going to be hitting. Jesus is going to touch a bucket of water every time we get thirsty. It's not going to happen. We've got things to do. And this is the battleground to get ready for that. So God's stretching us and growing us. And we have to be expectant that we're going to get there. And we got some things to do. The deeper our relationship, the more we feel convicted and not condemned. I'm gonna take a couple minutes here. And look, if that's you and you want to make a decision today, this isn't a Bible beating down. I want to give everybody the opportunity. If you've been a 30-year Christian, and you just feel like things haven't been going that well, and you don't see God into that. We're not going to go and everybody raise their hand. Listen, this is a personal thing. My walk with Christ happened when I walked through that door. I don't need to know everybody's problem. I don't need to understand. If you need prayer, I'm the guy that wants to do it. But I want you to understand that this is between you and God. If you're a kind of, I'm checking out the church and want to see what it is, if that's you, I want you to think about that. And if you don't believe in God at all, okay. That's okay. There's a lot of people that don't believe in God. Trust me. You're not the only one stacking out like a popsicle. You're not. There's people out there. And you know what? I don't say that I never believed in God, but I would tell you that I didn't make him a priority. And that's almost just as bad, if you really think about it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and close us out in prayer, if that's okay. And what I want, I'm going to pray just a simple prayer. And I want you to really think about it. If you're okay and you're good and you love God and you're enjoying the battles and the thrashings that's going on with this thing we call daily life, okay. If you need to rededicate your life to Christ, that's between you and God. But I would encourage you, as I'm praying, let that be your prayer. And if you don't believe in God, say, you know what, God, I'm not going to say that I'm going to commit to you right today, but I'm going to give you this. Show me something. What does God say? Give me an opportunity. So Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach the word, Lord. Thank you for using me, Lord. I am so humbled and grateful for the opportunities that you've just bestowed me. I'm thankful for the people that are in my life, my family, my friends here at New Covenant. And Lord, I pray that some of them will get the courage to come visit me, as crazy as that is. Lord, I want everyone in this room to feel your presence this morning, Lord. I want them to either think about connecting with you, reconnecting with you, or just asking a question, show me, Lord. I'm asking that you bless them with that opportunity. I ask that each and every one of us would dedicate ourselves and our life and everything that we do to be obedient and to trust you, Lord. Trust us with our faith, our hope, our expectations. And Lord, don't let us stay where we are. You know, let us be the pebble that gets tossed into the pond, that causes a ripple effect and moves people from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. Lord, we all know that eternity is a long time, and we're just a vapor here, Lord, but I ask that starting today that each and every one of us will reflect on what we've done, what we said, and understand none of that, Lord, none of that has anything to do with our relationship with you. All we have to admit, Lord, that we're sinners, believe that you died on the cross, and commit our lives to you for the rest of our lives. I ask this all through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if that was too short, too long. But thanks.
I do want to clarify one thing he said. Yes, David did snap necks. No, we don't condone that, because if that's the case, I may not make it through this afternoon. Maybe you're here and you think, man, I don't know about this Jesus. I want to echo what he said. Then you go to God and you say, if you're real, Jesus, show me. And he will, I guarantee, because he's real and he hears that prayer. Have a great day.